Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning. Today is Sunday the 7th of June. In case you hadn't noticed, later this week, the 23rd FIFA Men's Soccer World Cup Finals will begin. Mexico will become the first country to host or co-host the World Cup Finals three times. The United States previously hosted the finals in 1994, but by contrast, it will be Canada's first time hosting or co-hosting the men's tournament. The Bible does not feature sports in the modern sense, but it frequently uses ancient athletic competitions like running and wrestling and boxing as powerful metaphors to teach spiritual discipline, perseverance, and the pursuit of a godly life. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and I and our supporters welcome you to this programme of the Word of Grace, broadcast on CJMQ Radio to the Eastern Townships of Quebec. Words from Psalm 28. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. And therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people, and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also, and bear them up for ever. Amen. Let us turn to God in prayer and praise. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are our Creator and our Maker. You are our Saviour, and you are our Spirit. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are overflowing with love, infinite in kindness, incomparable in glory. And you are the source of all wisdom and knowledge. In you, all things work together for good and are redeemed. And your presence breaks into our lives in transformative ways, and you touch us with wonder. In response to your goodness and glory, we offer you our thanks and our prayers. Praise with our hearts, honour with our lives, and this and every day, and now and always. In confidence of your grace and kindness, O God, and out of a desire to begin again with you and with one another, we confess to you our sins. God of mercy, whose loving kindness endures for ever, we confess that often we have failed to receive and give love, to care for others as we care for ourselves, to pardon and to accept pardon. We remember good intentions that were not put into actions, harsh words said in anger, selfish purposes that caused pain, and persistent pride that would not yield. Hear us, Lord, as we make our confession to you now. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Know that you are forgiven, and be at peace with God through Jesus Christ and his cross, with yourself and with one another. Send your Spirit to us to instruct and teach us your ways and your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this morning from Philippians chapter 3 is one of those passages that I referred to where the Apostle Paul uses the imagery of a sportsman pressing on towards the goal and leaving behind the past in order to press on for the prize. It comes from Philippians chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
If the road that you travel leads you astray, taking the wrong turns with each step you take, walking in darkness in the light of day, look to the Lord, He'll show you the way. Look to the Lord, look to the Lord, He'll be there beside you.
Unceasing praise, songs of passion, a desire for triumph, unity of spirit, an object of worship, lament over wrongdoing, flawless attendance, and all in a beautiful sanctuary. What do those words put you in mind of? Perhaps worship in a large gathering, in a splendid cathedral. Well, perhaps it does. Or perhaps does it not, deepening on your experience, the feeling that will also be found in the 16 stadia that will be hosting the 104 World Cup matches in the coming month? Unceasing praise, songs of passion, a desire for triumph, unity of spirit, an object of worship, lament over wrongdoing, flawless attendance, and all in a beautiful sanctuary. Is this not also applying to a great sporting spectacle in some high-tech stadium? You will hear the gathering of tens of thousands, mostly but by no means not completely men, singing with a passion that may often be lacking in our congregational worship. There are ways in which the pinnacle of professional sports reveal that we were made to worship, to celebrate glory and admire excellence. This is woven into who we are as human beings, that modern sports can lift us out of ourselves to something bigger than ourselves, something beyond ourselves, something even spiritual, we may say. Sporting experience at the global international level can teach us to reach beyond ourselves, that we were made to pursue excellence. They teach us that we are worshipping beings, that reaching beyond ourselves opens us up to dimensions of living within ourselves. For all those peoples in those soccer crowds in the coming weeks will be, in a sense, perhaps more alive than on many occasions outside of their sporting fandom. Our human condition is not about whether we worship or not, but what or whom we worship. Men and women, boys and girls, can be very passionate about sports and the teams they support. Enjoying sports and in supporting one's favourite team is not necessarily a problem. Like anything else in life, though, we must learn to manage God's gifts wisely. However, sometimes we misuse God's gifts, and we become worldly in our thoughts and deeds. And many today worship sporting achievement in some form or another. Sports certainly do offer many positive life lessons, as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, but they also generate a trinity of consumerism, competition, and entertainment that inspires powerful cultural rituals with all the elements of an organized religion. This three-part blend of consumerism, competition, and entertainment taps into our lower human nature in a very visceral way. Consumerism feeds the greed, competition fuels the pride, and entertainment furnishes unending distractions and ceaseless trivialities. Sports are a massive entertainment enterprise, evidenced by the proliferation of countless sports channels, radio stations, websites, blogs, podcasts, with more daily sports entertainment available than hours in the day. And the growing blend of theatre and sport can be seen in the ubiquitous goalside celebrations and athletes' signature camera poses. Are they not further evidence of sport as entertainment? The dramatic pre-game introductions, complete with costumed mascots, or costumeless females perhaps, and expensive fireworks, increase the entertainment pesants. Now, while entertainment and relaxation are necessary components of the human experience, this never-ending sports drama perverts many people from ever using their leisure time for serious reflection or grander pursuits of real and eternal worth. Despite the dangers of sports intensifying the human tendencies towards greed and pride and distraction, sports can also teach us much about how devotion and commitment can develop within us as human beings. The Apostle John wrote in his first letter in the New Testament, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." And that doesn't mean to say that we can't love a beautiful lake or a nice meal, but it does mean we need to be careful that we don't love created things in place of the Creator. In the world, as John says, are the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. And professional sports teams and competitions offer ample opportunities for worldly desires to come to full expression. God created us with good desires, such as the desire to love or give vent to our joy. However, our sinful nature can corrupt these powerful desires so that we love things we should not love, or love them things in ways or degrees that do not fit with their God-given purposes. Passionate sports fans desire the joy of victory, but can in many cases be more about the fear of defeat and the accompanying grief than the joy of victory. They can reveal how disordered our passions can be. I've heard by many fans that they hate losing more than they love winning. And for many, the sports is the clearest window into their soul, where they can show more joy or grief than in any other realm of life. As I say, we may see more passion on the grandstands of the World Cup finals in soccer than we may see in any other part of life in these days. In diagnosing whether sports have an unhealthy grip on our lives, we should ask ourselves some questions. For example, is our love for sports drawing us away from corporate worship on the Lord's Day, or consistently distracting us from active church engagement? As in all things, can we enjoy God and give thanks to Him in and through our delight in sports? Or are we merely self-indulging our focused desires? Remember, what's not ever of faith is of sin. And even in the realm of enjoying sports, we must do so by faith, which guards our passions as we seek enjoyment, as God's people enjoying His various gifts. We're to do all things to the glory of God, including supporting our sports teams. When we take pleasure in sports, are we causing damage to anyone, including ourselves? Are we putting anyone down? Are we over-investing our time, our talents, and our treasure? Some people can become so inordinately distressed or angry when their team loses that they take their anger out on others, even their own family members, in domestic violence. We could ask, are we given to the pleasure of supporting a team, or is the pleasure given to us? In other words, we should not allow the failures of a sports team to dominate how we feel days after a loss. When we're given to something, it controls us rather than us controlling it. The art of enjoying sports is to remember that we can learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. If supporters of sports team can gather week after week to sit on cold metal benches, loudly chanting and singing to spur on their team to victory, should not Christian folks also be able to gather each Lord's Day with our brothers and sisters to celebrate all the more enthusiastic the victories of our King and of his eternal glory? Amen. Thanks be to God. We turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you have made us your own through Christ Jesus and given us a new righteousness based on faith. You created the universe. The sky tells of your glory. Day and night reveal the genius of your ways. You brought your people out of slavery and gave them your laws and commandments, that they might be rich in spirit and clear in vision. And though we repeatedly rejected your ways and destroyed your messengers, you sent your Son to us to renew heaven's call. And though the crowds recognized Jesus as a prophet, and perhaps more than a prophet, those who coveted his inheritance seized and killed him. But you have raised your own Son from the dead, and now through the power of his resurrection, he stands as the cornerstone of righteousness, the first fruits of the kingdom, and the incomparable prize towards which we press. Heavenly Father, thank you for the breath in our lungs and the strength in our bodies. Life often feels like a marathon rather than a sprint, and when the path is steep and our spirits grow weary, remind us to pace ourselves and to lean on your grace. Grant us the endurance to push past our limits, the discipline to train our hearts, and the focus to keep our eyes fixed on the ultimate finish line. Lord, you are the ultimate coach, and we are your team. Just as every player on the field has a role, help us as your church to work together in perfect harmony. Rid us of selfish ambition and the desire to seek the individual spotlight. Teach us how to support our teammates, cover for one another's weaknesses, and celebrate each other's victories. May our collective efforts, honoured off the field of your kingdom, reflect your love, unity, and grace. God of all strength, as we step into the arena of today's challenges, settle our nerves and clear our minds. Help us execute the plans you have prepared and give our absolute best effort. And when the pressure builds and the temptation to compromise our integrity arises, give us the courage to play fair and to honour you. Win or lose, help us to handle every outcome with grace, humility, and unwavering respect for our opponents. And hear us now as further we pray in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
There was a man standing by the bedside of the one who had stolen his heart. He broke down weeping, wondering why he couldn't keep her. There were too many pages unturned. As he fell to his knees, he cried out in sorrow, How can I go on? Look to the sun, his arms are there to hold you when the world weighs down on you. His hands are there wipe away every teardrop from your eyes. When you feel tossed by the storm around you, and it's way too much to bear, my Jesus will pick you up. Carry you through in his arms of love. So if you ever feel alone and all hope seems to be gone, oh, just remember the Lord is right there beside you, just waiting for you to call. Look to the sun, his arms are there to hold you when the world weighs down on you. His hands are there to wipe away every teardrop from your eyes. When you feel tossed by the storm around you, and it's way too much to bear, my Jesus will pick you up. Carry you through in his arms of love. My Jesus will pick you up and carry you through in his arms of love.
If ever a soul knew sorrow, Jesus did.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past, and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.